listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 I'm back again. It's Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everyone. They call it usually Thirsty Tuesdays because there's a lot of thirst and a lot of news. Glad everybody could join in today. Got some updates on this case of Alizia Carter, Libby Carter, the 13-year-old that was murdered in Philadelphia. Got a chance to speak with the family members of Prince Walters, who is the so-called, alleged pedophile in this situation. Got a chance to speak with his family members, and they basically described him, except for when I wanted to confirm his picture on his driver's license. The driver's license belongs to the name of Prince Walters, but the face on the picture belongs to his cousin, Christian Duncan. Yeah, that's what I say. So easy to get someone's ID and be them. So people, protect your private documents to the fullest, because there's lurkers out there that's looking for your identity. Not so much that they want to be you, but they want to commit crimes under your name. Now, something strange about this story is the gentleman, Prince Walters, who is the original Prince Walters, he doesn't even reside in Philadelphia at all. And he's been out of Philadelphia for the last past 4 years or so in another state, which I've confirmed, of course. And he also wanted to find out, why is his cousin still able, after he filed a police report, how is his cousin still able to be him with his name, his date of birth, his socials as him, doing a lot of crazy crimes in Philadelphia? Christian Duncan is a known criminal. He's a Liberian descent. He came to America via his aunt, due to him losing his parents in Liberia when he was a young kid. So he's been in the school system, and people seem to know who he is, because when they saw the actual person's face on social media and they said, hey, wait a minute, this isn't Prince Walters. This is his cousin, Christian Duncan. Why is his face with another name, which belongs to his cousin, as a possible pedophile? Well, you know what they usually say about pedophiles. It takes one to know one. So he's running around town. He's soliciting young girls. He is portraying to be a younger gentleman than what he is. He should be 32 years old. Seems like maybe sex trafficking might be up his sleeve. Seems like he may target young girls that are maybe in the streets hanging out, you know, between the ages of 12 and 15. That seems like his forte. Is he armed and dangerous? Possibility. He posts a lot of weapons on his page from time to time. That's him being a stupid young boy, but he's a lot smarter now. So I guess smarter because he's living the life under Prince Walters. And Prince Walters has no idea what kind of, excuse my French, but shit show he could be involved in if he's ever arrested, thinking he's committing all these crimes in Philadelphia when he's in a whole different state. So Prince Walters has taken the necessary steps to clear up his name. Someone had called in and wanted to know, well, could this be not a mistaken identity situation where Prince Walters is saying, hey, that's not me? He gave me an example of the R. Kelly situation with him urinating on the girl video. He said, well, R. Kelly said that that wasn't him, but it looked like him. Could be true. But this Prince Walters for sure is who he say he is. and where he say he is. So you can't commit a crime in two places. And what I wanted to discuss basically is the possibilities of this young lady, Alizia Libby Carter. Libby is her nickname. So we're just going to stick with Libby. People from Philadelphia know her as the 13-year-old girl that was murdered. Horrifically murdered. Let's say that. And this young girl was not only murdered, but there's significant proof that she may have been sex trafficked by this Prince Walters, a.k.a. Christian Duncan. So that may be a fact. And let's not forget, this young lady was in DHS/CUA custody. So let's not forget that. The system that takes the kids from the parents, that puts them in a better place, quote unquote, so they're safe and free from harm from their biological parents. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes some children need to be taken away from the parents. And unfortunately, those kids are never taken away. The parents still have access to them, unlimited access, which can be very harmful to the child. But, you know, that's their system. That's their agency. Now, you know, I said last week, it's like putting a rape victim with a rapist when you put a kid in that type of harmful situation. And just clarifying that a little bit to let you know why I say that. I say that because this agency, which is CUA, is a third party agency to DHS that actually is supposed to do the footwork for DHS as far as making sure the child stays safe, so they say. But the strange thing about it is the taxpayers have funded $4 billion in CUA agency, $4 billion last year. I'm not saying it. They wrote their budget up in the paper. So that is verifiable news. So you're actually paying an agency that has been accused of child molestation for decades that they've kept undercover to throw a third party agency out there to protect your kid. So you got DHS, you got CUA, you got the funder, Catholic Charity Communities, who's had a ton load of child abuse, child pornography, child molestation. And then the government says, hey, you know what? This is the perfect agency to distribute the funds and make sure that these protective agencies get paid. So I'm not sure what kind of protection they're actually giving the children, because every time I read the newspaper on a child either murdered, sexually assaulted, so-called missing, not missing, this agency has something to do with it. And for some reason, they stay involved in these child cases for a very long time. I'm not sure if it's a money thing that, you know, everybody's getting paid on. You know, they put you in this program. Hey, you need to take this class because guess what? You're not fit enough to be a parent. So guess what? More money gets shelled out to that agency for funding because they need someone to say, hey, we're offering these programs to these broken home parents and we're going to hold their kids as hostages, because that's what they're being held as, hostages, just so they can get a paycheck. Every child becomes a number. It's a dollar sign. That kid becomes a dollar sign to the system, whether they want to admit it or not. Because guess what? If you have no bodies, you have no funding. Because then if there's no bodies, it's no need to fund the system anymore. So taxpayers should be aware of that funding, where it goes and how it's being allocated to the agency, or let's say the agencies that oversees protecting the children. You know, it was a case where a young lady kept calling in, you know, saying her best friend's son was being molested, and she kept calling and calling and calling. They didn't do anything about it until the kid went to school and he was dripping blood out his rear end to say, oh, wow, you're finally at last. So guess what? They added another dollar sign to their budget to the system. So these funds are allocated for a purpose. But going back to Libby and her being protected by this system that they have in place that's $4 billion funded, and these people can't get it right to protect these children. They put them in foster homes and, oh, guess what? You're safe here. And then the child could either run away. They claim they don't have any knowledge about it. Or the child gets molested in the foster home and they have no knowledge about it. It's a lot of things that go on that are not foreseen with these agencies, like the unqualified staff, you know, the local community social worker that has basic minimum requirements. No, they didn't go to a Ivy League. They went to the basic. So basic is what you're getting from that particular system that's $4 billion funded, because they have what's called the budget. And everybody gets a paycheck based off of their budget. And, you know, with all the admin fees and Catholic churches fees that's included, you know, costs a lot. So that's $4 billion strong. So what I'm saying is it has to be a better structure, because this little girl, Libby, when she left home, she had air in her lungs. When she was returned back, she was pulled out of a cold storage area for verification of who she was, which, by the way, she wasn't ID'd until almost 30 days later after her parents were looking for her. This young lady, this baby, sat in the morgue for weeks while her parents were out there diligently hunting, not looking, but hunting the streets for answers for their daughter. So this is the broken system that is supposed to protect your babies when you're not able to. But it's a failed system because everything is by budget and what's allowed by them. I have a caller that's going to call in at 6:15 that I had a couple of questions for. Seems to know our perpetrator a little bit. I'm not sure if he's going to call in or not, but he did say he would call in. Prince Walters could not call in today because he has another scheduled appointment with some detectives in the state he currently resides in. So he could not be on the call back at a later date to join in and clear his name, as himself is no pedophile or no child trafficker or nothing of the such. He's a guy that works hard, plays hard, and just wants to be very clear that he had no part whatsoever in his cousin's role of fake identity and also trafficking. Now, trafficking gets picked up from a lot of different people. There's a lot of key players with trafficking. Some you know and some you don't know. The ones you do know, usually it's a friend of a friend of a friend that maybe grew up with you, and you know, guess what? This is what this guy is into. So I want to be involved with it also. So usually these people, they run in the same circle. So it makes you kind of wonder, well, if this guy, I'm just going to call him Christian, because that's his name, Christian Duncan, the pedophile. I'm just going to call him that, because I don't know any other name besides that. Okay, and I'll tell you why I don't know any other name besides that. I don't know any other name besides that is because a 14-year-old girl who has air in her lungs still and is breathing has slept with this 32-year-old man and her grandmother and mother are aware of it. I believe the caller just called in. Caller 305, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, caller 305. How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
Okay, I don't know you and you don't know me, but I'm Tamiko Torres, and I am an investigator that handles several cases. And I happen to be in on this case of this young lady, Libby, that is deceased at this time. And I had a few questions for you, and I just want to make my position very clear. My position is I'm with a confidential agency that is not to be disclosed on the air, that the parents are currently working with in regards to their daughter being murdered, which I think you may be aware of that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, do you know Prince Walters by any chance?
Well, I knew Prince Walter, he's different from Christian Duncan. Right. So Prince Walter is Christian Duncan's cousin.
Okay. And did you happen to see a copy of the driver's license with Christian's picture but Prince's name?
Yes.
Now, that picture on the driver's license, is that Christian or is that Prince?
That's Christian Duncan. So he stole his cousin's identity.
Okay. So do you know let me ask you this. What about any affiliation have you had with Christian, if any?
Not a whole lot. Last time I seen him was about 2017. Probably January 2018, but around the end of 2017.
Okay. Do you know him to be like a bad guy, a criminal?
Well, not really until I stopped talking to him. Then I came to find out all these other things.
Well, what did you find out?
No, I just found out that he was a criminal. I looked at his rap sheet. After he kidnapped the girl, it was all on Instagram and social media and everything. And that's when people started digging into his past and things. It's like, oh, this dude was bad. Then all his social media of him holding guns and everything else, like, oh. So no one really looked into that until the girl got missing in, I believe, October or something.
Okay. Do you know him to be a sex trafficker by any chance?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes people have friends that are in the sex trafficking business. Have you ever heard of this name, Rennell Quire, before?
Yeah. He got arrested for human trafficking.
Okay. Where did he human traffic out of?
Well, he was on the news and everything in Delaware County in Pennsylvania. I believe he was doing little girls. It's probably, I guess, the same thing Christian was doing. I don't know.
Now, do you know if they're best friends or not?
They all went to the same school.
Okay. So they have a history of hanging out together, probably?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since 2000. Well, I haven't seen Rennell since 2013 when he went to jail.
Okay. So he went to jail for sex trafficking young girls?
Human trafficking.
Okay. Because we got an article that was sent over, and the article said that he was human trafficking young girls between the ages of 15 and 16.
I guess, I don't know. Well, I just seen him on the news in 2012, 13, 14, and that was it.
Okay. So I mean, you know, it's been some word of his affiliation in Philadelphia, you know, Christian, that he sells cars for a living. Do you know anything about that?
Well, yeah, he used to sell cars for a living, but I guess he used to work for multiple people. So he used to work for multiple people that discreet dealers that would sell cars and needed salespeople to, because he was, I believe he was good at advertising. So okay. He would just sell cars and get paid like $100 or something like that, supposedly.
Okay. Do you know if he actually worked in like the, well, you don't know anything about him because you haven't been in touch with him in a long time. But, you know, right. Sometimes the streets talk and you hear things and people say, oh, yeah, I know him and he's into this and that. Do you know if he actually was ever into boxing by any chance?
I don't know. People changed through the years. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. So you basically knew him in his high school years.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. People grew up. I mean, people are sweet when they're young, and then when they get older, they become dangerous. You don't, people grow apart. You don't really know people.
Right. And by you not having any affiliation with him, that means you would not be a part of anything that he's involved with.
No, whatsoever. No.
Okay. And do you know him being from Liberia? Do you know that he's from Liberia?
Yeah, he's from Africa.
Okay. When you found out about this young girl missing and may have seen his picture on the internet, did you ever reach out to anybody to say, hey, I know him?
I believe, yeah, reach out to, because I was surprised, like, oh, wow. Who did I reach out to? Yeah, her mom, and the real Prince Walter. The real Prince Walter. And the real Prince Walter was pissed, was mad. And everybody was talking. The whole street was talking. Everybody was talking.
Okay, so it wouldn't be impossible for, like, people on the street to find him because they know exactly who he is, especially he went to Upper Darby High School, right?
Right. Everybody. So, Upper Darby High School had 10,000 people, so everybody knew him.
Do you remember what kind of guy he was in school? Was he quiet to himself?
Not really. You're talking about decades ago.
Okay, so he's somewhat around 32, 33?
I don't know.
Okay. So would you say that he's a big guy or a little guy?
No, he was just skinny. Last day was 2017, so he was skinny then.
Okay. And it seems like he wasn't that tall.
I don't know. It was probably 5'8", probably 5'8", 5'9", I don't remember.
Okay. What I was trying to get at is maybe with these young girls that he was communicating with, maybe he said that he was maybe 17, 18, maybe 20. Maybe he could have passed for a younger guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since 2017, so I mean, maybe people shave off their beard, so maybe.
Right.
Looking at the ID from Prince Walter, looking at the ID, like I said, Prince Walter, he used to go to the Upper Darby High School back in the day, so he was younger. So, you know, the ID is showing people that it looks real. I mean, I'm probably sure it's real. It's a real ID.
Right.
It's a real ID, so it's like, why would PennDOT make a mistake like that? So it would have to be some type of inside job.
Right. So maybe someone at Motor Vehicle knew him and actually said, hey, I could do this for you.
Right. So that's a lawsuit right there, really, to happen. So that should have never happened. So somebody slipped up in there. From what I'm looking at.
So from what I understand, the cops actually did, well, this is Philadelphia, you know, the cops actually picked him up. They questioned him, I believe, and they actually let him go.
That was crazy. I think that cop needs to resign because that was stupid. That was very stupid.
They looked at his ID and ran the name and said, well, Prince Walters, you're free to go. You have no warrants, so there's no need for us to hold you.
Right.
But Christian Duncan probably had warrants, and he didn't give up that name because if they didn't check anything else, they were under the impression he was Prince Walters because of the driver's license.
It's like, where did they pick him up from? And even if they picked him up, why didn't they should have already known that he had a false name. So they should have already done an investigation. At least they should have detained him until they found out more information. So whoever that detective was, I think they slipped up. They didn't do their job right.
So do you think he could actually leave the country, Christian Duncan?
Well, I don't know. I'm not immigration. I'm not, you know, Homeland Security, but, you know, it's pretty easy. If somebody want to leave the country, it's pretty easy for them to leave. It's coming into the country is the headache.
Right. So if you, I don't know what, if you, are you from another country?
This about, something like that.
Okay, so do you think it's easy for him to get a fake passport to leave America to go back to Liberia?
I'm going to tell you this, right? Nowadays, anything is bought online. Anything is bought online. If you have connections overseas, it's easy. All you have to do is go to Walmart or go to one of them places to take a picture, passport picture, send it off DHL overseas, and have somebody overseas, whoever he knows, make him a passport with a different name, and he's out of here.
Okay.
The problem is coming to America, coming in. But once you're here, it's easy to leave. Just from doing some research online.
Okay. And I just want to make this crystal clear. Because you did come on the show and we do thank you for that. I just want to make it crystal clear that you haven't seen this Christian Duncan in years. The only knowledge that you have is seeing him on the internet posing as Prince Walters. And you know that he was not Prince Walters because you know Prince Walters' face. And you have no affiliation with Christian Duncan and the shenanigans he may be involved with.
I had zero knowledge, had no idea of what he was doing. I was shocked, very, very shocked when I seen that. And I was even shocked that the DMV motor vehicle even allowed stuff like that to happen. I was even shocked. So if that's happened, imagine how many other people IDs he had, he's using it.
Right.
So Prince Walter might not be the only one.
Right. Well, caller 305, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and we hope you have
any other questions.
No, I just wanted to clear up, you know, if you had knew him and any current affiliation with him. But you know what? Before you go, do you? And this is just a general question. Usually, they say birds of a feather flock together. So, you know, no human trafficking. And from what I've been told, that Rennell and Christian are very, very best friends, and they still stay in touch with each other currently. Do you think maybe Christian was a good guy and maybe got tied up into human trafficking with Rennell?
I have no idea. Maybe. The thing is, once you are charged with those type of crimes, like, it's very hard for people to be around you because, you know, you're like, because like you said, you're guilty by association. So I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't talk to Christian. Rennell, he went to jail for, I believe, 6 years. So maybe not. I have no idea. But that's something, you know, that's the detective work for them to look into. You know, when I seen a girl with a little girl when she got kidnapped, it broke my heart because I had nieces, little nieces. And right. When I looked on it, I'm like, oh, shoot. When I seen the ID, that's the first thing. I'm like, how in the world did PennDOT even allow that to happen? So I thought that was a breach right there. So if I was a girl parent, I would probably sue the DMV for making that type of mistake.
So you don't have any idea about anyone who may even be friends with him?
No, no, no. No, not at all.
Do you know if him and Rennell were friends in school? Were ever friends?
Rennell was friends in high school because they all went to the same high school. Like associates. It was all associates in high school. But then you're talking about 8th, 9th, 10th grade, people change.
Right.
People change.
Yeah, because it seems like this Christian guy had an aspiring career actually going for himself at one time, and then something just flipped the switch. And he just basically became a common criminal of Philadelphia. According to his background check and his family members, his aunt was very informative on his career criminal behavior. And he stole his cousin's ID when he lived together. And he actually lived there until the grandmother died. And then that's when his life took a turn down a different road. But, you know, I don't want to involve you into anything that you don't know about, but I just want to thank you for calling in. Like, all right, call of 305 and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, folks, here it is. We got a best friend that is very close to Christian Rennell Quire, who is still on the registry, according to family members of Christian's, who believes that he got caught up in a human trafficking situation, preying on young girls who run away from home, who actually are in the streets. They prey on these young girls for sexual activities with them and sexually activities with others. So this comes to a surprise to me, hearing this from the family member of Prince Walters, aka Christian Duncan. And this is a direct family member. This is a family member that actually brought him from Liberia to America to make a better way for himself and have a good life and to do positive things, not come to America to turn out to be a criminal. So there are some things here that are a little disturbing. And a big blow to the case is, unfortunately, when you are affiliated with sex traffickers, human traffickers, they all flock in the same circle. And at 32 years old, if you're selling cars and you're surviving off of $100 on a car that you make, that's not enough money to survive in any state if you're living, paying bills, have a productive life. It just doesn't happen like that. But there's a little something that disturbs me as well. And it's this 14-year-old girl that was sleeping with this Christian Duncan, and her grandmother and mother were very well aware that this man was 32 years old. The 14-year-old girl comes home one day missing her underwear. This 32-year-old man takes her to buy her McDonald's. And then on another occasion, this 14-year-old girl disappears for 3 days with this 32-year-old man that is actively having sex with her. 14-year-old child. He's actually having sex with her, a 32-year-old man. Now, we don't know if it's protected or unprotected. I can just imagine. 3 days, my 14-year-old is out of the house and I don't know where she's at. There's a problem. Somebody's going to jail, especially if I know who you are. Now, this 14-year-old, she is on recordings with this 32-year-old Christian Duncan. And she's on a recording telling him, listen, I don't want to get you in any trouble or anything. I don't want to say anything, but I have the FBI coming to me asking me questions about you. She's on a recording talking to him and she's telling him, guess what? I saw Libby's picture on the internet and it said that she was missing. The 32-year-old is on this phone line with his 14-year-old that he was no longer with her. He dropped her off. She was not with him at all. Meanwhile, there's someone taking pictures off of Libby's Instagram on her live, and they're screenshotting it, and they're saying, look, dude, this is a picture of you in the background with her. Appears to be a picture in the bathroom. So that's very strange. What would a 32-year-old man be doing taking a picture with a 12, almost 13, 13-year-old in a bathroom, which is very weird. And it's just odd that a man of that capacity would be doing such a thing if he was not directly involved. Now, the only thing that I could think of is you got Rennell, who spent 6 years. By the way, he was the first person ever charged in Philadelphia with human trafficking. You got to look up that article. And the spelling is R-E-N-E-L-L, last name Q-U-I-R-E. He was the first guy ever convicted in Pennsylvania for human trafficking. So he was the very first. And not to say he won't be the last. But for the most part, someone was human trafficking this girl, Libby, the 13-year-old who was murdered, shot in the face, point blank range. I say face. Face sounds like an accident. Face sounds like the gun accidentally went off. She was shot in the mouth. So maybe somebody was trying to silence her and this was a way of silencing her. Maybe there's somebody who didn't want to go back to prison for human trafficking. Maybe it's someone that knows that she was going to tell what was really going on. So there's a lot of things here that's going on with this human trafficking situation in a lot of different states today, not just Philadelphia. It's all over the world. And there's another broken system, which is that DHS / CUA system that will actually place a rape victim with their rapist. due to their guidelines. Because I can't see how this young lady was removed from her home, which was so dangerous. It was harmful to her health. And then they move her around from foster home to foster home. And she ends up on the streets, basically, which makes me wonder what happened to the safety net that they were supposed to provide. Because usually when the kid is absent from the foster home, the foster parent says, hey, listen, this kid has left. You need to put out an APB on her. She's a baby. There's murders every day going on in Philadelphia. Something went wrong with this broken system of chain of command to say, we need to get on this. We need to send the dogs out. Not her father with the dogs looking for. We need to send the dogs out because we're getting paid. We're on payroll to make sure these kids are safe. No, but instead, you know what they do? They don't care. They say they care. But if they cared about Libby Carter, guess what? She would not have been murdered in the manner that she was. She would have lived the normal life of a 12, 13-year-old little girl that she was entitled to. These agencies get to pick and choose what child they're going to make sure is safe. Because if you live in a certain zip code, your child is safe. If you live in a different zip code than the zip code that is highly funded, your kid will not be safe and not in the hands of that system. And anybody that has a kid in that system, and I've had many calls from many people that have kids, have had kids in the system, still dealing with their kids in the system. Plenty of people that have called in to me and said, that system is broken. That system is working together to keep kids separated from their parents. They're not trying to reunify the parents with the children. So when we think about keeping these kids safe, maybe the best thing to do is have a friend or a family member step up to the table to step in and immediately have guardianship, because it's no telling if your kid goes into that system that your kid will come back out breathing. Because these people have a job to do. They have what's called working hours, and they only work on those particular hours. And I was told that, DHS is aware of my podcast and that they listen in from time to time. They tried to make this a King Hill, the past case I discussed, a topic that I was prying on with the mother and trying to come down hard on the mother. But sometimes when the shoe fits, you have to wear it. And you have to proudly wear it, because if you don't do your job as a parent, you have to be the one to eat it up. And I'm going to backtrack on that for a second. And I'm going to remind you that the father is still out there somewhere. The biological dad for King Hill / King Menendez, Mirandez, is out there. He's out there somewhere looking identical to King Hill. The braids in his hair, the color of his skin, even his lip, out there. What he did with this kid, will he ever come forward? Those are all questions to be answered. But there was an article in the paper of a body that was floating. I forgot what creek that was in Philly. It floated to the top. It was a badly decomposed body. Okay. I just want to put something in your ear. If a body is out there and it's been dumped in the river somewhere, if it's not in a cement casket, it's going to float to the top. Okay. And before you say someone is guilty, first make sure they're guilty, because there are a lot of psychotic people out here on medication that will fabricate a story that is false news, fake French fries, and lies, as I was told. So you got to be careful on who the news is coming from. Because by the time you get to the end of the line, you'll find out that this was all a hoax and you've been fooled. And then the crazy person will act like they played no parts because they're sick and they don't know that they're sick. Or they could know that they're sick. So I like to put that in the back of your minds. But we're going to still focus on King Hill, King Mirandez, Aliza Carter, Libby Carter. We're going to focus on one until King's body is resumed or he's brought back from whoever may have taken him. Two, we're going to focus in on the human trafficking and if this young lady was a victim of poor circumstance and poor judgment of just being thrown, people that placed her were also unqualified. And then there's going to be the judicial system to make the determination on who played a major part in this young lady getting killed. And like I said, a gunshot to the mouth is usually they're trying to silence you. And maybe somebody was afraid to go back to jail. And birds of a feather do flock together. So if someone who was a good guy that was younger a good guy, and as the caller 305 stated, they change, they definitely do change. And human trafficking is horrendously huge right now. And they're using these little girls, they're using their bodies, and they're trafficking these young girls. And it's been said from someone that is of high reputation that Libby Carter may have been human trafficked due to the condition of her body. So keep that in mind. I'll see you next week. More clues, more people, lots to talk about. Thank you for listening and see you next week.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.